Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Oh, it's Halloween, Chris, or it has been Halloween for most of the day. And we have just released the podcast at 10 p.m., if I've done it properly. And scary stuff. I've got a cobweb on my leg. Are you scared, Chris, about my cobwebby leggy?
Sounds like you've taken a pile of cocaine or something.
I've had a spooky pile of drugs, Chris. I'm out of my tree. Whoa.
Oh, dear. Happy Halloween.
Oh, dear.
I know you love Halloween.
Chris,
it's your favourite thing, isn't it? Are you doing anything
love
for this year?
Halloween.
Have you got a pumpkin ready? Outfit?
We had a party last night in the Hoos. Invited a couple of friends around, and I did what I usually do is I go, oh my God, I need to get a costume. And then I just go, I'll just buy another Edward Scissorhands one because that's the only one I can do. I used to be, you know, a bit more ambitious with my cosplay, but now very much I've just gone back to the old dependable Edward Scissorhands because it suits the shape of my face, I think it's fair to say.
Suits the shape of your face.
Suits the shape of my face.
God, what suits the shape of my face? Just a big fucking pumpkin.
It's Elon Musk, mate.
Elon Musk.
Smoking,
man. Well, to celebrate Halloween, I just did a video. Just got back from a video with Natsuki and Connor. That was a real meeting of minds. I met Ken Watanabe.
Oh, wow.
Connor met Natsuki. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's better? But we all know the answer there. But they met and they got on pretty well. And the theme of this one was to be like scary, do some scary stuff.
Right.
We went to, with Connor, I went to an abandoned theme park, which was kind of cool.
That's spooky. That's spooky. That's cool.
It was, but it was a very sunny, nice day. And so horror doesn't really work against a nice weather backdrop.
You need mist, you need overgrown kind of weeds for that kind of, is it Pripyat? Where's that one in the Ukraine? That overgrown one.
It looked exactly like that. This theme park looked like Pripyat.
But really nice and sunny and festive.
It was sunny, yeah, it was pleasant. and then we went to, it all went wrong actually. We went to this abandoned hotel and my friend had just made a video there a few months ago. And we went there and there was loads of signs up saying no entry. So we didn't go in, and it seems that the hotel's been abandoned. From what I understand, there's no owners, but I think the local authority just don't like people going in there anymore.
Yeah,
it's dangerous and whatnot. And we just couldn't really go in justifiably when there was that many no entry
signs,
warnings on the place.
In English.
In English, in Japanese, like, I don't mind going into an abandoned place, but if it's clearly marked off, if it clearly don't want you in, then I won't do it. You know, I try and go for places that are run down and sort of accessible and don't have to break anything to get in. And then what we were deciding what to do, a police car started driving down the street slowly towards us. So we all got in the cars and we raced off into the forest, driving very fast and escaped the police. So I had to find somewhere else abandoned for the video the next day.
Your soul.
And I found like an abandoned shipyard.
Abandoned
shipyard in the mountains near the sea of Japan.
Whoa, right. Hang on. Whoa,
near the sea. Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Wait. Yeah, okay. Yeah, in the mountains. Very confusing. By their very nature, they're far away from the sea. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mountains would be near the sea, can't they?
That is spooky. If it was a shipyard at the top of a mountain, that would be the spookiest shipyard. Who built this? Which maniac fucking built this? There's no water around. What's going on?
It was a bit weird. It was a bit surreal. Yeah, it was a bit odd. But it was cool. That was genuinely scary because the place had been left for God knows how long. It was so overgrown in this very dense forest. We had to walk through a swamp to get to it. Natsuki, Connor and I are walking through the swamp at like 11 o'clock at night, pitch black. We have these crappy torches that don't really do anything. There's massive green spiders everywhere. There's probably a fleet of bears waiting in the shadows to steal our wallets. It was really scary. That was genuinely scary and unpleasant. And I don't know how we got out of it alive, really. But that'll be in the video as well.
Did you manage to find a sexy love hotel in the midst of this spooky adventure?
Thankfully, no. I denied Connor his favourite thing.
Connor couldn't give you the willies in a love hotel in your Halloween adventure.
Oh, God. But no, so that's the video. It should be out when this podcast episode is out. So
it better be, mate. It's a spooktacular. It's a spooktacular Sunday. We need this content. Come on.
Spooktacular wacky weekend.
10 p.m. This podcast drops and then you can go straight to YouTube and watch the video with you and Natsuki and Connor. Do it.
Absolutely. Do it.
Yeah.
And Pete Donaldson won't watch it because he never does. And
I do.
Pete, I'll interrogate you.
Okay. Well, when the weird and wacky and wild weekends you and Connor go on, when it's your side of things, I watch it. When it's Connor's side of things,
good.
It always runs a little bit longer. So I'm like, I sometimes miss the back very end true. Of it, unfortunately. So, but I do enjoy the little things he puts in there. The little kind of memey stuff. I like the memey stuff he puts in. You can learn a thing or two, Chris. That's all I'm saying.
It's different style of editing, isn't it? His view is like 10 years younger than mine, so
right,
I do it a little bit differently. But Natsuki, for some reason, Natsuki couldn't say wacky weekend, and he kept saying wiki weekend. He was like, wiki weekend.
Wiki weekend. I can see that.
It's a bit odd.
Good old Natsuki. And then, I miss Natsuki.
But the first time, he thought it was called bad weekend. And we were like, no, Natsuki.
Weekend. This is a bad weekend.
Inherently bad weekend. Oh, man.
Oh, wonderful.
It was good fun. So check it out, guys.
Good.
We got a story this week from Jamie from Wicklow in Ireland. He says, Dear Chris and Pete, or whoever's on this week as the guest, it's Pete Donaldson. He's back from his many trips. My partner and I have always had a fascination with all things Japan to the point of choosing it as our honeymoon destination in April 2019. During our time in Japan, we visited loads of places, but we both agreed that our favourite parts were the small towns and villages nestled in the mountains of the country with the abandoned shipyards. One such town we went to was the historical town of Shirakawa-gore. A picturesque place full of quaint little houses adorned with thatched roofs, nestled in a range of beautiful snow-capped mountains. When we got there, we just had to go straight to the hot spring after a full day of travelling and exploring. We split at the entrances to our respective baths and ventured into the changing rooms. Something I must say at this stage is that my wife and I have just about enough Japanese language skills to be at the point where we have the conversational ability of a five-year-old, but our listening skills are a little bit better than that. I mention this because when I went to shower before getting into the bath, the place was empty except me and a Japanese father with his young 10-year-old son. Nothing seemed amiss until I tuned into the song that the father was singing that had only the lyrics of Oksan no pantsu, or quite literally, my wife's pants. While he was showering and helping his son shower. What? Having lived in Britain for 3 years leading up to this, you can imagine my shock at a man singing this to his son in broad daylight. My shock level increased when I heard his son saying as loudly and nonchalantly as his father, Tanaka-san no mune ga kōfun shiteru, or Tanaka-san's chest is quite exciting. Needless to say, I struggled to contain my laughter and was always bursting to tell my wife about it by the time my bath had ended. It was stories like this one and the fact that the emperor abdicated and Japan coronated their new emperor while we were there that really made the trip a honeymoon to remember. Have either of you overheard something while in Japan that has made you struggle not to laugh out loud? Thanks for the podcast. Keep up the great work. Jamie from Wicklow in Ireland. What do you make of that? That's a strange story.
I would very much like to hear this Tanaka-san no Munega, whatever the other word was. Fantastic.
What? I mean, what is this song?
Tanaka-san's chest is quite exciting. Yeah, look. But could Tanaka? I thought Tanaka was a men's. Was a men's nick. Tanaka.
It is. Yeah,
a couple
Tanaka's
of wrestlers called Tanaka. Yeah.
Tanaka-san's chest is quite exciting. Is your chest exciting, Pete?
Oh yes, very much so. There's always food on it, crumbs, nipples, hair. Oh, it's all going off, God. Mate. It's a cornucopia of sights, smells, and sounds and textures.
I mean, this was less a story with a moral and a clear cut moral, but more of a Japanese language learning lesson. But yeah, let's get right. When you learn enough Japanese that you can pick up stuff, you can listen in and sort of catch these sort of funny moments. I'm guessing this father was singing Oksan no Pantsu, my wife's pants. What song is that? That's up there with Too Much Volcano, isn't it? For wacky
song. Does that mean pants, like panties? Or does it mean pants as in trousers?
It's like trousers.
Yeah,
okay. American style.
Look, a confusing song. So. I'd very much like to hear more about. Oh, speaking of, have we spoken about the fact that the volcano, speaking of Too Much Volcano, have we spoken about the fact that that volcano went pop and bang? Pop, bang, lovely. It's through dust and hot dust. What's hot dust? Ash everywhere. the one that you visited and danced around on.
Yeah, so the other day, when I was out with Connor and Natsuki filming, my phone got bombarded with messages and I was like, uh-oh, someone's died or something's blown up, something's gone wrong. And it turned out something had blown up. Mount Aso, Japan's biggest active volcano, had erupted for the first time in, I think, 4 years, 5 years. It last erupted in 2016. And it was a hefty explosion. If you look up Mount Aso eruption, like it's pretty terrifying how it just sort of consumes the sort of peak of the mountain in just about 10 to 15 seconds. Like where I went with Natsuki and Joey, we looked straight into the crater where the eruption happened, right? Which blows my mind to think, you know, what if we'd been up there? Well, I would have died. And luckily, no one was injured, to my knowledge. No one died, no one was injured. And I think they must have shut down the peak of the volcano because they can often tell if there's some activity going on there, really. But yeah, it's crazy. The place where we shot on the peak of the volcano, where Natsuki and Joey are rapping, that was sort of disappeared beneath a cloud of smoke that went like 5 or 6 kilometers high. Terrifying stuff. Terrifying stuff.
I think that your ground shaking and breaking rap and music was the catalyst for this latest eruption, quite frankly. You should feel very responsible, to be honest.
I'll tell you what, I do feel a sense of guilt for the simple reason that straight afterwards, the number of listeners shot up on the song Too Much Volcano. Like back in the charts. Every time Mount Aso erupts, Too Much Volcano is back up in the iTunes charts. But yeah, it's a crazy old thing. I remember these sort of eruptions. I'd love to see one. I mean, it's crazy. Like when we went to... we did the Cessna and we flew over Sakurajima in Kagoshima just 2 weeks later. That erupted, actually. And if we'd been flying over that, we would have been swatted out the sky like a butterfly with a baseball bat. It would have been pretty bad. So, yeah, you never know with these volcanoes. Like the last serious eruption that a lot of people unfortunately died on would have been Mount Ontake, which is a huge volcano in the sort of Japanese Alps in central Japan. And that erupted and unfortunately killed a lot of hikers because it's a massive volcano and the eruption was huge. And you can watch videos of these terrifying plumes of smoke racing towards the hikers as they run down the mountainside. Like, I think we sort of take it for granted, really, the sort of power of volcanoes. Just, we don't even have them in the UK, so it's hard to sort of truly appreciate them until you get here
and see
videos.
Completely agree. Yeah.
But... speaking of volcano, there's a political volcano this week. Another clever little Segway there. Segway.
Segway.
Are those things that you stand on, the two wheels?
Segway, yeah.
That's a Segway.
Named because it links two things together, I presume.
There you go. Political volcano, when China and Russia sent a fleet, what can be described as a fleet or a flotilla, of 10 warships through the Tsugaru Strait. Now, this is interesting. Between the islands of Hokkaido and Honshu, there's a little strait called the Tsugaru Strait. It's at its most narrowest, it's 12 miles apart, about 20 kilometers. And if you look at a map, it's a, you know, it's quite a narrow strip. And it turns out that, and I only learned this recently, that that strip of water, which is an incredible place, that's where Japan gets all of its best tuna from, all its maguro, its Orma tuna, the really expensive, like million-dollar tuna. It all comes from that strait, very fertile area. It turns out that strait is international waters. Japan's territorial waters extend only 3 nautical miles, 5 kilometers into the strait instead of the usual 12. Do you know why that is, though, Pete? Any ideas why that might be? Because there is a genuinely interesting reason why they've done that.
Don't look at
Wikipedia. Don't cheat.
Why
do you think they shortened the international... Why do you think they turned it into international waters when they had no need to?
So everyone would have to negotiate fishing rights, or I really
They wouldn't have to, would they? If it's international waters, technically.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are we talking about then? What's going on here, Chris? Let me know.
All right. I'll put you out of your misery. It's so basically
I'm not in misery. I'm not in misery.
It's the
Important
Japan podcast, Pete. they've done this, so nuclear armed American warships and submarines can transit the strait without violating Japan's prohibition against nuclear weapons. So Japan isn't allowed to store nuclear weapons. But what they could do now, because of this rule, is American ships can sort of carry nuclear weapons through the strait, whether it's a submarine or a warship, whatever.
Oh, I see.
So
right.
It's for military purposes. Otherwise, they couldn't do it. They wouldn't be able to go through it, and American warships would have to go all the way around Hokkaido, all the way around Honshu.
Right.
Quite an interesting reason to do it. I guess it makes sense. It's a pretty extreme move, though, isn't it?
Across. Well, yeah.
It's a pretty extreme move.
It's look, I've never had to transport or freight a nuclear warhead, but, you know, a lot of people have.
It's always a first time.
And that's the thing that keeps them up at night, worrying about where it's supposed to be at any one time. Chris, I don't know, do you even know where your nuclear warheads are right now?
I keep it in the shed at the bottom of my imaginary garden. I love the idea of you on like a little fishing boat with a nuclear bomb just sailing, sailing through the strait, singing along. There you go. The Tsugaru Strait, though, pretty cool place. It's got the tunnel that goes through to Hokkaido, which I might be taking in a week because I'm doing a video with Connor there. And then in 3 weeks with Natsuki and Joey to do potentially another journey across Japan. So we'll be going through under the Tsugaru Strait to do that. Good, isn't
more
it? There's
of
a bullet train.
Journey across Japan. Is this the first time you've mentioned in public a potential new journey across Japan?
You are hungry, aren't you? Well, that hot pot potential.
I am hungry. I just want some rice.
It is the first time I mentioned it. I've got to be careful, though. It's still early days, but I say early days. If it happens, it'll be like 3 weeks away now. But hopefully. You might be doing like a mini kind of 4-day journey across Japan in Hokkaido. We'll see, though. We'll see.
Yeah. Well,
still early days.
You've done it again, Chris. You've once again failed to plan adequately enough that you're literally going to be starting a new project in 3 weeks' time. You're going to be terribly tired. You're going to be editing all night. You're going to be very upset. And you've learned nothing from the last time. So I salute that, Chris.
Victory.
You're a man who never learns. Your workload increases. You drink more coffee. You look more sad. But the Brunchbag Japan podcast never loses its charm, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you can guarantee on the Brunchbag Japan podcast, neither Pete nor I will transport nuclear weapons through the Tsugaru Strait, regardless of Japan's territorial waters, which extend 3 nautical miles into the strait. We'll be back with the fax machine, your questions, in just a moment.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got, Mr. Donaldson, from our listeners this week?
Alexis has got in touch. Hello, Alexis. I'm from Pennsylvania, USA. Since Halloween is very soon, it's now, Alexis. I have a spooky related question for you guys. In Japan, how is the holiday Halloween viewed? Just how differently is it celebrated than in the UK or the US, if at all? I see a lot of people online dressing up in Shibuya to party on the streets, but is that the extent of the holiday? Looking forward to more podcasts and more videos. Keep up the awesome work. Chris, how does it kind of, how ubiquitous is Halloween across? Is it just like a bit of a hallmark holiday? You get people getting drunk, dressed as spooky October festive men and women, and then otherwise it's more or less just in card shops and dressy up shops, I suppose.
I feel like you're the expert on this because you've been to Shibuya Halloween more than I have. I mean, when you think Halloween in Japan, it's synonymous with Shibuya, right? You just have images of people dressed up in costumes, getting drunk, trashing Shibuya. It didn't help that 3 years ago, some idiots got drunk and overturned like a lorry. Somehow, don't know how they did that.
Yeah, if that's as bad as it gets, I think for a city, a city of the size and the population of Japan, of Tokyo rather. I mean, if that's as bad as it gets, I think. And to be honest, out of all the trucks in the world, those tiny Japanese trucks are very typical.
It was a small
truck. I'd have a crack. I'd have a go.
Absolutely, you could do it one finger, no problem. K car, over.
Flipped over. See you later.
I mean, I haven't really got stuck into Halloween in many years. I did like a fancy dress thing when I was a teacher. All the foreign teachers in Yamagata got together and I won the award for best costume. Oh. I went as, I was very desperate. I hadn't really thought anything up. So I went to Daiso with $100, Ichimayen, and I bought all the sweets that I could. I got a top hat and like a stick, a cane, and I stuck $100 worth of sweets to myself in my hat. And went as the Candyman. And I remember I had a toy submachine gun as well. It was like a violent Candyman figure.
Right.
So, and everyone loved it because my costumes got consumed.
Did the Candyman I have never seen the film The Candyman. Does the Candyman turn up with a load of sweets to his body and with a gun? Is that the plot of the film?
He did that night, Pete. He did that night.
He did that
night. I won the award. I won the award for most original and brilliant person, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was very good. And the best thing was, at the end of the night, all my costume had gone because everyone had just eaten me. During the night, people just come up and just tear off a bit of my costume and eat it.
It just sounds problematic in the school. That's all I'm saying. For a million different reasons. All right, buddy.
It's clever. Edible paraphernalia. It's clever. Do that for your Halloween costume.
Edible costume.
Guys,
I'd love to come to your Halloween party, Steve. Yeah. What's your policy on edible costumes? I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right, thanks. I think we'll be fine without you, to be honest. The worst.
Nonsense.
The worst.
You will
man.
Win. You will win the competition. We got one here from Matt in Ontario, Canada.
I've got candy pants on. I've got those little candy necklace pants on that you see in Ann Summers that no one buys or eats.
Another award-winning costume. Hi, Chris and Pete. Matt from Ontario. Your content is always great to keep me relaxed and company while I drive several hours away to visit my fiancé. My question for you... As a fan of golf, what is the public perception of the sport in Japan? Do they idolise and follow the best players such as Hideki Matsuyama? Thank you, guys. All the best. Matt in Ontario. Golf's not really my special skill set. Only sticking candy to myself is my special skill set. But there are a lot of good golf courses around Japan. There's so many. If you go like Google Maps and do like a satellite view of Japan... In between all the rice fields and concrete, you just see these huge, meticulously pruned, beautiful golf courses. So it's kind of popular in Japan, but I don't know anyone that really does it. Do you have any knowledge of golf, Pete? What do you know?
It's very, because like Japan's quite a corporate, middle management kind of country, isn't it? Where the people who work harder and longer are the ones who kind of prosper, and socializing is a big part of that as well. And golf is a big part of socializing on a corporate level. And so you do see a lot of very high end, very specific, all the best kind of golf products in the 90s came from all the electrified kind of golf ball finders, range finders, all that stuff, all that tech came from Japan. And it didn't come from, your kind of like markets like, China and stuff like that. It was mainly Japan who concentrated on improving the lives of the golfers. And for me, I don't understand golf. I would quite like to have a go at it one day because I quite like crazy golf, and I've heard it's exactly the same. and you hitting a ball through a windmill or through the mayor's mouth or something like that, or a big helicopter. So I'd like to have a go one day, but I just think I wouldn't. It's one of those things where I like the idea of swinging a golf club for the first time and then going, "Hey, no professionals." I was going, "It's my first swing, mate." But in what would actually happen is you'd miss it completely and just make a big divot on the floor. But you do see a lot of those like pitch and putts. I did a bit of golf in, where's that bloody place? It was down in Kyushu, Kagoshima. The trains weren't running very often. So we did some pitch and putt. It was next to the train station. We had an hour to kill. So it was me and two friends playing a bit of golf, playing a bit of pitch and putt. And the people who were coming up behind us and in front of us were just collections of quite older people, clearly just having a weekend, having a little game of golf or whatever. And so I was, is it Muzukashi? Means difficult?
Yeah.
When they were laughing at me hitting the ball off and into the rough, I was saying, Muzukashi, it's difficult.
That's a standard Pete scenario, that is. Not chigaimasu, your favourite word.
Well, chigaimasu is very much, there was a lot of chigaimasu performed that day.
I don't know why I like that sentence so much. A lot of chigaimasu were performed that day. We got one here.
A mass of chigaimasu.
But you never know, guys. There you go. You might run into Pete swinging away at a pitch and
on the links,
playing crazy golf. We got one here from Toby. It says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. Big fan of the podcast. I'm Toby, writing to you from Lagos, Nigeria. I wouldn't imagine you get a lot of emails from Nigerians. I don't know. I think we've had a few. My family and I are planning on taking a two-week trip to Japan when this whole corona situation subsides, hopefully soon. And unfortunately, I'm allergic to all things soy and shrimp. Do you think it would be possible for me to enjoy a trip with those allergies? Keep up the great work and looking forward to the videos in the new studio. Thank you very much, Toby. The studio's actually being assembled later this week. It's being finished, so I'll be able to show you guys then and there. But I must admit, a lot more restaurants in Japan do ask if you have allergies these days. If it's a proper sort of sit-down restaurant and you're sort of sitting down getting things off the menu. If it's somewhere like a fast food style place, like a ramen shop, we sort of go in with a ticket and they throw a bowl in front of you. You won't get that there. But a lot more restaurants do ask, you know, do you have any allergies? So, but it will be difficult if you're allergic to soy. That's one of the trickier ones. And
yeah.
Any advice, Pete? I mean, I would get like a bit of card with sort of just written in Japanese saying that you have an allergy to soy sauce. Look it up online, the correct wording, and just sort of carry that around.
I think this, you're right, though. Like, you could probably avoid shrimps and shrimp products that are mashed up into everything, but soy's a tricky one, you would say, which is in pretty much everything and everywhere. But, it depends on how strong the allergy is. It could just be, a furry feeling in the mouth, or it could be, I need to go to hospital now. So, Toby, I hope you're all right. I hope you managed to avoid some.
Trying to think what foods wouldn't have it. Tonkatsu, pork cutlet. That'd be good.
That'll have sushi, it, won't it? Tonkatsu? That would have a bit of soy in it, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily.
Sushi you could avoid, I reckon.
Sushi you could avoid all the time. But I don't know if you'd want to have sushi without soy sauce. It would be a bit dry, potentially.
It's going to kill him. Obviously, come on.
Yeah, but shrimp.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you couldn't possibly. Yeah, shrimps are in everything as well. Oh, no. It depends on how strong the allergy is, I suppose, isn't it? Like if you can eat something that's prepared in the same place that that shrimps are being prepared, you'll be all right. But it's just if you can't even be any places, you might want to just stick to pre-made foods from 7-Elevens or something, maybe.
Well, I mean, yeah, the convenience stores have a lot of options, don't they, with sandwiches and wraps and things and fried
and
chicken.
And you've got more, and there's more likelihood of any allergies being written on the side of those boxes as well, you imagine.
That's very true. That's very true. But yeah, no, I'd recommend looking up online, getting some correct sentences there that you can write down. I could tell you now, but it's probably just best you look it up, Toby, and write it down on a card, and then you can go into sort of a shop and just sort of say, you know, I have an allergy. Yeah. Look at this and get them to read it. But
I'll tell you what you have to say, and I'll get it wrong, and it'll just be a card that says I love soy, give me loads of soy. It's like, Pete, you fucked it, you got the wrong kanji, you idiot.
Don't let Pete do anything for you, Toby, ever.
Don't let Pete. That's a good point. That is just a way to lift your life. Fantastic.
It would just be a piece of cardboard with mizukashi and shigaimasu. Difficult and different.
Soy, it is difficult.
Yeah.
Garofu is difficult.
Oh, man. The worst advice. From Pete Donaldson, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you then to do it all over again right here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Shigaimasu.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.